Please open your Bibles to the book of Luke, the 13th chapter. In your Schofield Bible, page 1095. Tonight we'll read just three verses. Starting with the 31st verse, we'll read through verse 33. Luke chapter 13, verses 31 through 33. We'll read the verses in unison. Page 1095. Let's please stand for the reading of this passage. And begin with me, please, right there with verse 31. Ready? The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, Get thee out, and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, Go ye and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. Let's pray. Then, Father, we'd be, of course, indebted to Thee if Thou wouldst do a work here tonight, as we are indebted to Thee already for all that You've done for us in this place and through the years that You've given us here upon this earth. We pray that You'd bless tonight in that very special way that would bring the very most out of the service for each individual. We pray that each individual here tonight would be careful to hear the preaching. And we pray that our preacher would indeed have Thy power and blessing upon him as he comes to us. We're certainly grateful for our church. We're grateful for the freedom that we have to assemble here. And we're thankful for Your meeting with us faithfully so, service by service, and again tonight. And we praise Thee in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we come now to the preaching of Thy Word. I pray You'd speak to our hearts and give us the truth that'll help and change our lives. Bless this service to the glory of Christ and this message to the praise and honor of His name as we continue to serve You. Amen. I'm speaking tonight on the subject, I didn't start to quit. And I didn't start to quit. I didn't start with quitting in mind, and I didn't start to quit or begin to quit. In other words, I'm not about to quit. I didn't start for that purpose, and because I didn't start with the purpose of quitting, I'm not even going to start to quit. See, a lot of you folks didn't start to quit, but you're already starting to quit. I mean, please put your pens down now, as I say it again and again and again, and look right this way and listen to me. Put your stupid pens down and put your paper up and listen to what I'm saying. Same people all the time. I'm preaching to you. It's not class. This is preaching. And I got something I want to tell you tonight, and I want you to follow me and look at me and let me help you. I didn't start to quit. That's not why I started. A lot of you folks have didn't start with the quitting in mind, but you've already begun to quit. You came to college to get a degree, and you're going to get it, but you already started quitting. You dropped out for a semester, and this is not a college sermon tonight, but it's going to include you college students. I didn't start to quit, and I haven't started to quit. Jesus is coming toward the end. It's just 3 days before He comes to the end. He is teaching, and as He is teaching, the Pharisees come and suggest and ask Him to depart. They said, Herod's going to kill you. And I like the answer Jesus gave. He said, he told them what to tell Herod, but He said, go tell that fox. I love that. Because Jesus, He used satire too. As the Son of God, He said, go tell that fox. In the Greek, it means go tell that buzzard. That's what it means in the Greek. But I love it. Jesus said, go tell that fox. You know, I got thinking about that. Jesus called people by satirical, animalistic names. He said that you're a generation of vipers. What he said is you're a bunch of snakes. That makes me feel good. I'm more Christ-like than I thought I was. But then, of course, he likens a false teacher to a donkey, an ass, a donkey, and that's a wonderful description. And he said, I send you as sheep among wolves. And Revelation, he said, without the city of heaven are dogs. He compares unsafe people to dogs, false teachers to donkeys, and Herod to a fox. Fox is clever, cunning, sly, tricky, sneaky. He said, just go tell that fox. Herod's going to kill you. Tell that fox, is what he said. He said, tell that fox that I'll walk today and I'll walk tomorrow and I'll be around till I get through. That's what he says. I'll be around till I get through. I'll walk today, I'll walk tomorrow, and then he said, I'll finish the third day. I'll be perfected the third day. Yeah, that's the same word that Jesus used when he said, it is finished. I think he was letting that fox know, I'm finished now, and I didn't quit till I got through, and I'm finished. And so he said, I will walk today, I'll walk tomorrow, and I'll finish the third day. Now, here's what he's saying. He's saying, you go tell that fox, and I think he meant you little foxes listen too. He said, you go tell that fox that I am going to finish this section of my life before I leave. Now, there are four sections of the great life of Christ. The first section of his life or era was the era of becoming the Savior. Once he finished that of becoming the Savior, he ascended to heaven to become the priest. Tonight, he who was the Savior and is the Savior, but did his work as the Savior, he now sits, are you listening to me? He now sits on the right hand of the Heavenly Father as your priest and my priest interceding for us. He'll come again someday, and then he'll enter the era of being the King. And for 1,000 years, he'll rule and reign on the earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Following that time, when the kingdom is delivered up to the Father, and he sees the holy city coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, he becomes the Lord. And will be Lord of Lords, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Lord, the glory of God the Father. So there are four great sections of his life, from his birth in Bethlehem to eternity. He came as Savior. He now is our priest. He will become the King and for eternity will be our Lord. Now he said, I came to be the Savior. I came to live and go to the cross and die and pay the penalty for the sins of men. And you go tell that fox, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get through. Now, he's in no uncertain terms. He's bold in saying it. I am not going to quit until I'm finished. Now, I understand that I'm to be Christ-like. If I understand the Bible, I'm to be like Jesus. 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so are we in this world. John 14:12 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, because I go to my Father. In Colossians 3:13, as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. In John 15, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now, all of us agree that we're supposed to love like Jesus loved. We talk about being Christ-like. We always think about loving. And we're supposed to love like he loved. And we're supposed to forgive like he forgave. And we're supposed to work like he worked. He's saying, I'm to be like Jesus. I'm to forgive like he did, to work like he did, to love like he did. Hey, but I'm also to finish like he did. I'm to be like Jesus. And I'm to say to the devil, you just go on back to hell and leave me alone. I don't care what you do, how many hordes you unloose on me. I don't care what you're going to do to me. I aim to finish what God has put me here to do. You look the devil square in the eye and say, I'm going to rear this child. I'm going to rear this child. I may be a single parent, and my husband may have forsaken me and my child, but I am going to rear my child. And if a devil would like it, tell that fox to go. Well, you can tell him to go there. I can't say it because Mama in heaven would cause an earthquake to shake this building right now. But you know where I want him to go. It's not heaven. I don't believe in purgatory. I mean, just look the devil square in the eye and say, praise the Lord, I am going to finish rearing this child. I think of that little lady in Texas years ago. She got cancer. She had rearing a son by herself. And she got cancer. She came to God when the first day she had cancer. Said, God, I haven't got time to die today. I've got to take care of this boy. I'm not going to die today. I'm not going to do it. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning about tomorrow, but I'm not going to die today. She came back the next day to God and she said, God, I'm not going to die today. I'll talk to you tomorrow about tomorrow. But I haven't got a lot of time to talk to you. I've got to go. I got a job. Got to make a living. I'm going to rear this boy. I'm not going to die today. And she just told God every day she wasn't going to die, and she didn't die. That boy was grown. Now, what America needs and what you need is to look the devil square in the eye and say, I am going to finish what I started. Look him square in the eye and say, I'm going to get my degree. And I don't mean 113 years from now. I'm going to get my degree. I'm not going to be stopped. I'm not going to go to the right. I'm not going to go to the left. I am going to get my degree. Boy, I love those parables when Jesus talked about the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost boy. It said that the shepherd left the 99 in the wilderness and went out to seek the one that was lost, and it said, until he find it. How long is he going to seek the sheep? Till he finds it. How long was it? Was it a day? Till he finds it. Was it a year? Till he finds it. How long will it take? A month? Till he finds it. Didn't ask how long it's going to take. He just said, I'm coming back with that sheep. This is my journey. This is my mission. This is my calling. And I am coming back with that sheep. And the same thing about that coin. That lady lost that coin in her house, and she got the light, and she tried, and it says she sought it until she found it. I don't know anything more despicable than a quitter. I tell our students, you're going to quit school? And by the way, they come to me and say, Brother House, I'm going to go home. I'm not a quitter. Well, pray tell me, what is a quitter? You're a dirty quitter. And I say to them, when you quit, don't you come and tell me goodbye. I don't want to say goodbye to you. Crawl out of that city in the sewer line. I don't want to say goodbye to you. I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, all of us can't be great preachers. Listen, I'm preaching to you. All of us can't be great teachers. All of us can't be great theologians. All of us can't be great people. All of us can't be handsome. All of us can't be pretty. All of us can't be strong. But all of us can finish what we start. Tell that fox, I got 3 more days, and I'll walk tomorrow. I don't care what he says. I'll walk the next day. I don't care what he says. And on the third day, I will have finished, and I aim to hang around till I get through. You tell the devil, look him square in the eye, and you say, I'm going to finish what I've started. 2 weeks ago, I was preaching in a little town called Coppers Cove, Texas. Coppers Cove, Texas. Coppers Cove, Texas is right across the street from Fort Hood, Texas. 50 years ago, I went to Fort Hood, Texas. They called it South Camp Hood in those days. And 50 years ago, I went there. I was looking at a picture of me the other day, taken 50 years ago. I look exactly like I did. Exactly. And that's one good thing about being old. Your eyes get worse, so looking in the mirror, you look just like you used to look. As your eyes get weaker, your face gets uglier. I don't know. I have any wrinkles because I can't see that well. And by the way, it doesn't hurt. As your wife gets older, you can't see her wrinkles either. It doesn't hurt either, does it? Of course, mine didn't have any, but if she did, I couldn't see them. But we're driving down the street, and there was Camp Hood, Texas, called Fort Hood now, and there it was, where I took my basic training for the Civil War 50 years ago. President Lincoln sent me a letter, said, I want you to fight and help win this war. I said, no, sir, I live in the South. But anyway, and by the way, South won that war. I mean, had a bunch of referees that make some bad calls, that's what it was. But anyway, I'm going to preach the Bible whether you like it or not. Let me remind you of something, brother. God punished the greatest man that ever lived because he mistreated Southerners. Check it in the Bible. Moses was leading the people of Israel toward the promised land. He lost his temper and he said, whoa, you rebels! And God said, that does it. Those rebels had the Southern flag holding up there. Bunch of idiots trying to take the rebel flag away. Keep on flying it, Buster. You say, you're a racist? I'm a flaggist. Not a faggist, but a faggist. Flaggist. Ow, 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 ow. Now, I've forgotten where I was. Where was I? Fort Hood, Texas. That's right. And so I was inducted in the Army, and I told one of the preachers, I said, right across over there, not very far from here, I was taking a 26-mile hike one day, and we walked 13 miles of it, and I was so tired. We only had one canteen of water, wouldn't let us have more than one canteen of water. I'd already used it up. I had 13 miles left in a 105-degree day and no water to drink. And I said, somebody send Lazarus that he would dip his finger in water and touch my tongue. I'm tormented. Boy, the Bible just flows out all the time. But all of a sudden, the Jeep drove up. Two or three officers got out. Captain, lieutenant, got out and had a clipboard. And one of them, we had a break in our walk, and we were sitting around. And they got out, walked up, and said, fellas, we're looking for volunteers. And I said to my buddy, I'm volunteering. He said, what is it for? I said, doesn't make any difference what it's for. Can't be worse than this. I was in the infantry. Can't be any worse than this. And they said, it's for the paratroopers. It was worse than this. I signed up that day to become a paratrooper. And I didn't start to quit. I mean, brother, I had my wings the day I signed up. I just as good as had my wings the day I signed up. Because I didn't start to fail. They may as well pin them on me. Because I was going to get my wings. You see, when you decide you're not ever going to start anything to quit and never start quitting anything, you're going to make it. It's all right in here. You say, I'm going to do the best I can to make it. Then you won't make it. But you say, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. Years ago, Miss Hiles and I were going somewhere together years ago, and I wanted to go to the ball game. The Bible says, my heart is fixed. That's a scripture. And Miss Hiles said, we're going to go to the flower show. And I said, no, my mind's made up. We're going to the ball game. She said, but my heart is fixed. We're going to the flower show. I said, let me tell you something. My mind's made up. We are going to the ball game. She said, we are going to the flower show. I have never seen such pretty flowers in all my life. Son, be still now while I'm preaching. You know why? Her heart was fixed. My mind is made up.
You say, I made up my mind. I'm going to finish. Won't you fix your heart? I'm gonna give it all I got. No, sir, I'm going to get there. Jesus said, you tell that fox, I am not going to quit till I get through. I'll be here tomorrow. If he likes it, I'll be here. If he doesn't like it, I'll be here. I'll be here the next day. If he likes it, I'll be here. If he doesn't like it, I'll be here. And 3 days, the third day, I'm going to be finished then, and I am going to finish. Now, you listen to me. Don't you start what you don't finish, and you finish what you start.
So, I had my wings, sitting there in the infantry. Next day, we had a physical. First thing we have is a colorblind test. But I had tried to join the Air Force, the Naval Air Force, before I went in the infantry. But I flunked the colorblind test. They put that little book out there with all those little dots, you know, different colors. And man, I saw all kinds of numbers. I was proud of myself. I said, that's an 8. Next page, that's a 5. Next page, that's a 3. I said, I passed. No, I said, those are the ones we can't see. I have not seen what I've seen. And so I came now to the paratroop test, colorblind test. I knew I couldn't pass it. If I didn't pass it, I couldn't be a paratrooper. But I am going to be a paratrooper. I didn't start to finish. And I wasn't about to start to finish. Or to quit.
So?
I didn't start to quit, and I didn't start to quit. And if you don't respond better, I won't quit this sermon tonight. Here I was. Brother Ray, stand right here, would you? You have right here the colorblind book. The colorblind test. And I said to my buddy, come here a minute. You go occupy that fellow up there, and I'm going to sneak around him.
Okay.
See, I'm going to get my wings. I'll tell you, I'm going to get my wings. So my buddy went up there. Get him this side over here. And I passed the colorblind test. I did. I passed right by it. And he turned around and he said, have you passed the test? Did I pass the test? Yes. I'm a truthful man. And I haven't taken the colorblind. The reason I'm telling you about this is because I didn't study this week. But I'm telling you about this because I was down there a few days ago and said that's where it happened, right over there. I decided, but in the middle of that 26-mile hike, not that I was going to try to be a paratrooper, do my best to be a paratrooper. I was going to be a paratrooper, and that's what Jesus is saying. Tell that fox I'm going to finish, and he won't stop me. So I continued the test. They x-rayed my spine. They found it was yellow. They x-rayed my spine, and they said, at the bottom of your spine, you got a curvature we got to check out. They put me in the hospital. My outfit, the paratroop volunteers were shipping out on a truck that night. Well, first thing next morning, in the wee hours, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, I was in the hospital. They said, well, take x-rays tomorrow. You can't go with your outfit. We got to find out whether or not what's wrong with the curvature of your spine. They put me in a hospital room. I tied sheets together. You see, back yonder in the middle of that 26-mile hike, I got my wings. I tied sheets together and escaped from that hospital. I pointed to it. I said, that's where it was over there just a few days ago. And I got on the truck. To this day, I don't know what happened to my records. I don't know if the hospital still has them. I don't know. And they hear this, some of you gossips have spread this, I'll lose my wings. But at my age, I'm about to get some more anyway. I
I decided to be a paratrooper. I got on that truck, I shipped out, and I have not been back to the hospital, and to this day, I don't know what's wrong with my spine. Praise God, I am not brilliant, and I am not smart, and I am not an intellectual, but by cracky, I am not a quitter. Tell that fox I'm going to finish his job. I don't care if he likes it. Not, I'll be here tomorrow, and I'll be here the next day, and the next day he'll come, he'll see me get my wings. You tell that fox. I went to Fort Benning, Georgia. First day we had a mile run. I had 103 fever, but I ran. Started vomiting on the run, but I ran. Why? I got my wings. We're back yonder in Fort Hood, Texas, several weeks ago. So, how did you decide to finish that run? I decided to finish that run whenever I said I'm going to be a paratrooper. About 100 yards or so from the finish line, I began to vomit. About 100 feet from the finish line, I fell face down in my vomit, unconscious with 103 temperature. I was awakened by a sergeant walking up and kicking me in the side and saying, "Soldier, when we quit running in this outfit, we crawl." And I crawled for 100 feet on my hands and knees, vomiting all the way, and I crawled through my vomit for 100 feet. Why? Because I decided out yonder on that 26-mile hike, I was going to get my wings, and I got them there. Some of you can't crawl 10 feet. Well, Brother Hans, my great-grandmother's uncle's aunt's cousin's niece has the flu back home, and I got to go take care of her. Or my 33rd cousin has 40-40 vision. I got to go see for her. Oh, shut up. Boy, I tell you, I wouldn't shave myself if I were you. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't want to look in the mirror. I'd have somebody shave me. I couldn't look at the mirror and see a quitter. Boy, I preached at the college the other day on that scripture, Nehemiah. They're building that wall. Sanballat and Tobiah came up and said, "Let's join in this thing." And they tried to make him quit. And old Nehemiah said, "Should such a man as I flee?" Said, "Such a man as I flee." Notice what he said. First thing, he said he was a man. Nehemiah said, "I am a man." And then he said, "You decide whether you think I ought to flee or not." But he said, "I am going to finish the wall." And the Bible says the wall was finished. And Jesus said, "Tell that fox, I'll be here tomorrow. I'll be here the next day. I'll finish the job the next day. And I am not going to quit." That's what he said. I'm going to finish. Well, we came to the 10-mile run. Said, "Well, the house, did you ever think you're going to quit the 10-mile run?" Never. Never. Never entered my mind. Didn't even think about it. I just kept on running. Did you get tired? Don't know. If you stop and think about it, you may know you're tired. I didn't know I was tired or not. You know why? Because back yonder, in the middle of that 26-mile hike, I got my wings. I'll tell you something else, too. Ms. Hiles and I took off. I took off with a wife and a black cat and $40 to go to East Texas Baptist College. In a week, we spent the $40 eating the black cat, and all I had was a wife. We should have kept the cat and eaten the wife. But anyway, I'm going to tell you something. You could have given me my degree when we left the bus station without a car. You could have given me my degree right there. I didn't say I'm going to go do the best I can to get a degree. I'm going to get a degree. I didn't say I'll die or get it. I didn't say it. I'm going to get a degree. Tell your fox I'm going to get a degree. Tell a Southern Baptist I'm going to make it. Tell the American Baptist I'm going to make it. Tell it, old fox, and all of these little demons in hell, I'm going to make it. Why? I didn't start to quit, and I'm not starting to quit.
Then one day the sergeant said, give me 90 push-ups. No, I didn't say 9, I said 90. 90 push-ups. And he put a full field pack on my back that weighed 90 pounds. I can't do 9 now. I got a full field pack on my front. 90 push-ups. Folks, I had never done 50 push-ups without a full field pack on my back. You say, what did you do? I started doing the 90 push-ups. You say, with 90 pounds on your back? Yeah. Did you think you could? Sure. Sure. Because in that 26-mile hike, I got my wings. You say, Brother Howes, did you ever think about quitting doing 90 push-ups? No. Did you ever think, you had never done 50? Did you ever wonder if you did? No, I was going to do 90. Sergeant came up one day and he said, I was skinny. But you know what my nickname was? My nickname was Slim. Slim. I was the same height I am now, with 141 pounds. One day the sergeant came up and he said, you think you're... He said, you're not built to be a paratrooper. You think you can make it? Yes, sir! He said, give me 25 push-ups. I said, that's easy. He said, with one hand. Oh. You won't believe this, but I don't care. I looked at him and said, which hand? Because I couldn't do it with either one. Which hand? Oh, I love that. I love it. That excites me to think about it. Which hand? I mean, I got down and with my right hand, I, with the sergeant counting, I did 25 push-ups. Why? I'll tell you why. I didn't start to quit, and I'm not going to start to quit. Him time my first jump. Black fellow in front of me wouldn't jump. Put me in the door. I was second. They put me in the door. Folks, I was standing there in that door. 1,200 feet from the ground. Nothing between me and the ground except nothing. With nothing but a skirt on my back folded up. Called a parachute. And the sergeant said, stand in the door. And I stood in the door, the ball of my foot there on the exit. C-47 airplane, the props on the plane caused a prop blast. If you didn't jump just right, that prop blast would get you and like a figure skater, I think. Male figure skater. Folks, I had never been in an airplane till I jumped. The first flight I took, I was on my first flight. And the sergeant said, ready to jump. And a fellow behind me named Johnson from Trinity, Texas, a little short fellow, tapped me on the shoulder. I looked around, big old tears streaming down his cheeks. He said, Jack, I'll quit if you will. Best offer I ever had in my life. But I didn't start. Back yonder in that 26-mile hike when I decided to get my wings, you could have pinned the wings on me. And I jumped. On my fifth jump, made five jumps. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, one a day for 5 days. On my fifth jump, my chute didn't open. had a streamer, which means the lines go around the silk and the air doesn't come up. I pulled my reserve chute 1 second from the ground, 100 feet from the ground. You say, was that your hardest jump? No, the sixth one was the hardest. But a jump. I've never had so much courage in my life as I did that sixth jump. You know why? Because I didn't start to quit. And I'm talking about people all over this room. I'm talking about you young ladies and young men who've got married recently. I'm talking about you parents that are about to give up on rearing your children. I'm saying Jesus said, go tell that fox, I'll be here tomorrow. And I'll be here the next day. And the next day I'll finish. And he can huff and puff, but he won't keep me from finishing because the third day I'm going to finish. I didn't start to quit. And I'm not going to start to quit. I walked across the platform, Fort Benning, Georgia. They put my wings on me. Gave me a patch for my shoulder, the big old parachute right here. Gave me a cap with a parachute right here. Gave me some boots. Shined where you could almost look at them like a mirror. And I came back home. Had a girlfriend back home. Name was Beverly. I came back home. I walked down the aisle, Hillcrest Baptist Church. And she said, wow. I think that's what she said. Or all. But I had my wings on. And I had my boots. And I had my insignia. And I had my cap. You know why? I got on my back yonder. That's what I like about Jesus. Everything he did before the foundation of the world. He saved me before the foundation of the world. He called me before the foundation, because he knew I'd choose him. As soon as he looked down in eternity and through the telescope of foreknowledge, he saw I was going to trust him. He just took care of everything right then. And brother, I was just as saved as I am right now before I was ever born. I said, you tell that fox. Now listen carefully. How can we be so bold? How can we be so bold? Tell that fox I'm going to finish. I'll tell you how we can be so bold. Let me read you a verse. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Yeah, that's that same word Jesus said, I'll be perfected the third day. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. And let me read you another that you know real well. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I've told God time and time again, I didn't start this, you did. It's your work, not mine. I never one time... I told God a thousand times through these years. I said, look, I was sitting in the pew at the Hillcrest Baptist Church minding my own business. Never thought about being a preacher, never wanted to be a preacher, and you interrupted the service. And you started this. You started it. And he which hath begun a good work will finish it. I've told God time and time again concerning First Baptist Church of Hammond. I didn't even know there was a First Baptist Church of Hammond. I didn't even know where Hammond, Indiana was. I knew it was somewhere in Indiana. I have insight. I knew where it was. I just thought that's where they made Hammond organs in Hammond. They don't make Hammond organs here. They make Sut here. But I thought, I didn't even know. I told God, hey, wait a minute. Hey, look, hold it now. I didn't apply for this church. You're the guy that had it in mind.
I was sitting there at Miller Road Baptist Church for life. I wasn't bothering you. You came, and you were the one that brought me up to Hammond. Now, you said right there in Philippians 1:6 that you had finished that which you start. I said this many times about Howells Anderson College. Hey, I never wanted to start a college. Never even thought about it. Dr. Evans said one time when I was speaking down at Bleak College. He was down there as dean of doing the same thing you're doing here. More of it, but he said, you're going to start a college someday. I said, no, I'm not. He said, yes, sure. I said, no, I'm not. He said, I want to work with you. I said, you work by yourself. I'm not going to start a college. He said, well, you'll start one someday. And I told God time and time again, hey, this wasn't my idea. I never planned to start a college. I never planned to come to Hammond. And I never planned to be a preacher. And I wouldn't be preaching now if you hadn't started it. And I wouldn't be in Hammond now if you hadn't started it. And I was out there trying to go to sleep one night in Claremont, California, minding my own business. And you woke me up and wouldn't let me sleep. And I went out and walked up and down the freeway. And you told me to start a college. And I wasn't my idea. It was yours. Now, this is your work. And it's up to you to finish it because you said you were. And he will finish what he starts. So if you want to be like him, you finish what you start. Tell that fox, I'll be here tomorrow. Oh, by the way, tell my enemies I'll be here Wednesday night. And tell them I'll be here next Sunday. Because he who hath begun a good work will finish it until the day of redemption. Have you started anything to quit? Or have you started to quit anything? I did not start to quit. And I did not start to quit. Our Heavenly Father, bless the simple message to our hearts tonight. I pray tonight that people who stacked arms will unstack them. People who are at ease will get back in the march, in the battle. I pray defectors will reenlist. I pray that people AWOL will turn themselves in to the battlefield. I pray you'd help us to say with the Savior, tell that fox I'm finishing. Tell that fox I'll be here tomorrow, and I'll be here the next day, and I'll be here till the work is finished.